The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening services at 7 p.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
Attempt to finish this series that I've been working on for the last, seems like it's been 2 years. It's probably been about 3 months, about transformed salvation. And how, you know, we use the phrases so in such a casual way, you know, well, I'm saved, you know, and I'm on the way to heaven and all that. But there's so much more. It's kind of like Pat's little illustration. You know, you look at the ocean and you see the surface, but there's so much more there. Things that you need to work at sometimes to see. And we've covered a lot of territory in these last several months that we've been in this subject about a transformed salvation, that we are transformed by it. It's not just heaven, it's everything in between. And we talked about how salvation makes you perfect. And we don't think of ourselves as perfect, but when God sees us, he sees us as perfect. Another sermon, we talked about how we're accepted by God. And God loves us just the way we are. And he didn't wait for us to change and get our act together. He poured out his love while we were still in our sins, the scriptures teach us. We talked about why we're forgiven and what all that means to be forgiven. And then we went on, we talked about healing. That healing is part of the redemption and salvation. And we talked for a couple of weeks about why prosperity is included in our salvation. So if you weren't here for that, I encourage you, you can pick up a CD in the back or a DVD. If you're watching via the internet, you can go to the internet archives and get those sermons either on audio, download them to your iPad, iPhones, iTouch, whatever you got, and you'll be able to listen to them, or you can watch the video. So today we're going to close with the subject that is just awesome. What can you expect? What can you expect in heaven? What can you expect in heaven? And let's look at the passage of Scripture, and we'll go on. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. I must go on boasting. This is Paul. And Paul is talking about something that happened to him, some experience he had. Although there is nothing to be gained, I will go on to visions and revelations from the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise and heard inexpressible things that no one is permitted to tell. What an experience Paul had. And he said, I don't know if revelation, the vision, I don't know whether I was awake or asleep. I don't know. But I saw things that it's not even permissible for me to talk about. So what can we expect when that day comes and we, as we sang some songs, and I appreciate the worship team, I sent them a little partial list about some things I wanted, and they filled in the rest. And, you know, I can only imagine. I mean, we just do our best to imagine what it might be like. The only people in the Bible, in the New Testament in particular, that even got an inkling was Paul. And Paul said, hey, I can't even talk about it. I mean, it's not permissible for me to tell you what I saw. So we don't know what he saw in any detail. But the other guy who saw was John on the island of Patmos. And he saw some things that blew his little pea-pick in mind. And when we read the book of Revelation and we see the things that he saw as he wrote them in symbols and just little metaphors and things that when we read it, I mean, how many of you read the book of Revelation and you went scratching your head the whole way through it? Said, what in the world is that? And it's interesting that it's called the revelation of John. So it's not the cover up. It's not to keep you, guessing, but it's the revelation that you could know what it is that God wants us to know about the heavenly realm. And it's the only book in the New Testament, in fact, the whole Bible, that says that you'll be blessed if you read it and you heed it. So just to read the book of Revelation, sometimes you say, man, I'd like to be blessed by God. Whip out the book of Revelation and read it. Say, well, it confuses me. You're confused most of the time anyway, so this is nothing new, all right? This world is a confusing place. So it's not going to hurt you to go there. People tell me sometimes, oh, well, I'm scared to read it because they got scary stuff in there. Listen, there's nothing scary in there. It's all good news. It's the revelation about what happens to God's people when God begins to reveal his divine control. Now, for the unbeliever and those who don't know God, oh, there's some scary stuff. But for us who are believers, it's a great place to go. I promise you, if you go to it and read it, you'll be blessed because it says it to be blessed. But there's more to heaven than streets of gold, which it mentions. And there's more to heaven than the river of life, which it mentions. There's more to heaven than harps and clouds. And that's not going to be all the heaven is. I don't know about you, but I'm not in sitting around on clouds playing harps all day, all right? I mean, that's just not me, I just don't think that's going to work for very long. It might be a thrill for just maybe an hour, but after that I'm bored, tears. I want something else going on. So what our study is today is about what we will experience, the experience of heaven, okay? So the first thing I want to talk to you about is you can expect something that you have never experienced. And let's look in the book of 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. An inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. So we have an inheritance. We have something in heaven that's imperishable. It's not going to fade away. It's being preserved. And when we get there, we'll see some things that we never experienced here on this planet. One of the things is that you will find that it's a place where sin has never existed. Now, when you look around this building and it's decorated as nice as we know how to decorate, or you go outside and you look at the trees, or, Pat and I did, you go look at the ocean, and, it's not exactly the ocean, it's Mobile Bay, but it's kind of like the closest thing we have to an ocean around here. And you see that, or if you go to the mountains and you see the glory of the mountains, and Jim and Priscilla just came back from a trip to Alaska, and they've got visions of grandeur bouncing in their head, and you see all that stuff, but it's all been cursed. It's all been tainted by sin. And this place is dangerous. Hurricanes come through. It's hurricane season. And, we just had a little scare when Debbie just kind of was a little tropical storm, And, boy, all the television stations are just going berserk. People are getting worried. They're getting their flashlights, their nerve pills, gas, everything else they need to try to get through that. If the storm comes this way, and heaven forbid, God forbid that it wouldn't happen, but if another Katrina came pouncing towards the Gulf of Mexico, we'll all be taking nerve pills, all right? Because, it's dangerous. I just heard about a guy, this is the second time I've heard about this, a guy was climbing around in the mountains and fell and got jammed, and he had to cut his blooming arm off to get out. That's two guys that happened to. Here's some wisdom for you. First of all, don't go climbing around in the mountains by yourself. But if you're going to go, bring a knife. Just in case. You never know. I mean, those guys were glad they were able to cut their way out of that place, all right? So, but it's dangerous. I mean, talk about the bird flu, you know, could kill hundreds of thousands of people. We've had epidemics, tsunamis go through. I mean, it's a dangerous place. And the reason it's dangerous is because it's tainted with sin, all right? But heaven's not like that. Heaven won't be a dangerous place. You can stand on the edge of the cliff and it won't fall, and neither will you. And if you do, you'll be all right. It's going to be different, all right? It's going to be, and you know, the people that you know have all been tainted with sin. And the very best of us are demented. Hey, let's get down to where it really is. Our minds are demented. We've been tainted with sin. We don't know how, it's like going to the crazy house. The folks in there don't know how crazy they are because they're all crazy. And everybody they see is crazy. Well, it's the same thing in the world. We don't know how bad off we are because we've all been tainted with sin. Our minds have been abused by sin. Our bodies have been abused by sin and sickness and all the things that we go through. So we don't know anything else. But when we get to heaven, everybody there will be devoid of any evidence that sin ever existed in their lives. And it's going to be great. Everybody you see is going to be sinless perfection. Now, we see it in our spirit now. And we talk about what Christ does for us now through the redemption, and that we are perfect in Christ. And when he looks at us, he sees the righteousness of God in us because that's who we are. But we don't see it today. I mean, we look at each other. I mean, some husbands and wives look at each other and say, I know you're the righteousness of God, but boy, sometimes I don't know. You know? And that's kind of the way it is. But there we'll be with perfect people. Telling about a product, a thing that they were doing, and I was listening to what they had to say, and I said, I don't know, it sounds like a scam to me. You know, you got to be careful today. You don't know who's scamming you and who's not. You know, people just lie to you, and just to because they're mean spirited. You know, just the way that it is. But in heaven, it won't be that way. You can trust everybody. You won't have to worry about getting a concealed weapons permit. You won't have to worry about having guns and things to protect yourself. You don't have to worry about walking in the dark. You know, if somebody's going to jump out from a bush and get you. You won't need to worry about any of those things. That's what it's going to be like. It'll be a place that is free from the touch of sin. You have never seen that. You have never experienced that. So that's one of the things that's waiting for you. A place that has never been touched by sin. You are going to see some things you've never seen. Now, some of you in the spirit, some of it may have, I've known some people that have, you've never seen in some of these heavenly creatures, these angels. You know, they're real. You know, there are angels around even now. There's angels everywhere, even right this moment. They're in this room. But we can't see them with these physical eyes. Remember, who was it? Ezekiel, Isaiah, which one of those guys was with his servant and he couldn't see?
Elijah.
See, I was just testing to see if you knew that, Rose. You know, Elijah, he's all pumped up that the victory is theirs, and his servant's scared to death because they're outnumbered. And he said, Lord, open his eyes so he could see. And when he did, he saw things that you couldn't see with the natural eye. So you'll be able to see some of these angelic beings. You know, if a big angel walked in here right now, there'd probably be some new doors in the building. I mean, some of you would be running, get out of here. I don't know that I want to be a part of this. But you'll see them. And I'm looking forward to seeing them. I want to see those cherubims. I mean, those are cool-looking things. I want to see some of those winged winged creatures. You know, Isaiah spoke about, he had six wings, with two they could fly and two they covered themselves, their eyes and their feet. I mean, that's going to be cool to see. to see all of these things in the book of Revelations, you know, a beast with the eyes and looking different. I mean, you talk about going to the Audubon Zoo and seeing some weird things. I mean, this is going to be cool, but nothing's going to hurt you. So you'll see things that you've never seen before. Something you're going to see that you've never seen is a resurrected body. These things are wearing out. The one you got right now, you know, won't it be nice to be able to get out of it? You know, this, for you young people, this won't mean anything to you, but for the older people, won't it be nice to get out of a chair and not have to go, oh. You know, just, you know, make those funny noises, you know, you go, oh. You know, or get out of bed in the morning and wait for everything to wake up, you know, so you can, won't stumble and fall, you know. You know, steady yourself a little bit. I mean, you'll have the resurrected body. It'll be just like the body that Jesus had. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 15:49, it says this: "We have borne the likeness of the earthly man." That's this fading thing we have. "So we shall bear the likeness of the man from heaven." We'll be just like him. You've never experienced that before. We don't know what that's like. We know some of the things that Jesus did. He seemed to be able to get around wherever he wanted to go. One of the cool things is, some of you are going to love this, evidently you can eat. You know, he had breakfast with the guys, so you know, but none of it will be bad for you. You know, Pat went, when we were down in Florida, she had to go see the doctor, Dr. Colbert, who's a holistic doctor. And, you know, one of the things they do is tell you the things you can eat and can't eat. Well, Pat loves tomatoes, and she loves eggplant. He told her, no tomatoes and no eggplant. Man, I mean, this is killing us. We had a salad the other night, and she took those little cherry tomatoes and put them on the side. Usually, I give her all of mine because I hate tomatoes and eggplants, all right? So, but there, everything you'll be able to eat will be good for you, you know? You won't have to worry about something making you sick, or somebody grew a cow and gave it some hormones, and you know, all your body parts start growing funny because you got eating the hormones that were meant for cows. I mean, I don't, you know, this stuff we're eating is bad. Pat was reading last night. What was that thing you were reading about? Nightshade vegetables. I haven't even heard of that before. But they say that some of the vegetables we're eating are killing us. And I told him, I said, everything we're eating is killing us. But there, it won't be. Your body will be such that it will never get sick again. Hallelujah. No doctor will tell you, well, you've got this wrong with you, or that wrong with you, or we have to cut on this. You know, and I've said this before. You know, when people have to have surgery, it's only minor surgery if it's somebody else getting surgery. If you're getting surgery, it's major surgery, all right? Is that right, Tommy? When they pull out that knife and start carving on your hand, huh? I mean, you know that this is major stuff. You know, Gail, you thought you were going to bunk in the hospital and bunk out and straighten out your arm, didn't you? Huh? You found out there's a little bit more to it than that. Yeah, Gail didn't want to know everything. I'm with her. I didn't want to know. But your body won't wear out. It won't need surgery. It'll be radiant. I've told you so many times, if we could see ourselves the way God sees us, we would be awestruck. God sees the glory of us that's in us, the Christ in us. We can't see that, but in our resurrected bodies, we'll see it. I remember when Pat and I first came into the kingdom, and this is quite a few years ago now, we went to this folks' house. We were new to churches. I mean, we hadn't been in churches, and these folks invited us to the house after Sunday night service. You know, and that was a big thing to do in the congregation we were in, and we went to this folks' house. And one of the gals who was the hostess, her daddy was a preacher. And he was there, and another guy was there, and they were both older than I was. They were really ancient. I bet you they were 70 years old at least. You know, I mean, just really old, two old guys. Yeah. Well, when you're 33 years old, they look old anyway. You know, and I was 33. And they were having this conversation, two preachers. There's nothing like listening to two preachers talk about the Bible. I mean, that's fun to do. I mean, because they try to outdo each other about what they know. And this one guy says, well, you know why you, he says, you know, preacher, why you need to get a new body? when you go to heaven? As if he had a question that couldn't be answered. And the other guy says, I know why. He said, because when you see the glory of God, this old body couldn't take it. He said, it would just explode into a million pieces. And you need to have a new body in order to see the glory of God. And I still remember that. Well, that's pretty good. I thought that was a pretty good statement. You know, you need to have a new body to see the glory of God. So we'll have new bodies. And you've never experienced that. You'd like to. I went and got a new arm, you know, but it's and it's better than the other one, but I mean, it's still, wake up. There it goes. I can get it to work. I've got to talk to it a little bit. But you'll have something that'll never, ever give you trouble again. Here's something else. You'll live in the eternal now. Time will be no more. Amen. Hallelujah. For some of you, this is going to be so good. Rose, I'm not talking about you. You'll never be late again. Oh, my wife. I'd be like, no, I'm never late. I used to, remember when CBs were in vogue, everybody had a CB in their car? And I used to drive to New Orleans when I worked, and I had a CB. And, you know, everybody leaves about the same time, so you get to know the same people, and everybody's got a handle. And they had a gal, she called herself Never Early. She was always late, because she was always speeding down that interstate trying to get to New Orleans, because she was going to be late for work. But you never have to worry about time again. You never have to worry about being late, and you'll never run out of time. You know, we were on our little vacation, and you know, as it gets closer to the time you're going home, you know, you start thinking, well, you know, I got one more day, you know, I got 10 more hours, you know, it's, you know, the night before I'm coming home, I never really sleep good because, you know, get up in the morning and get in the car and drive home, you know, but you'll never run out of time again. You'll be able to do whatever it is you want to do for as long as you want to do it. If you want to sit down and talk to Paul, he'll be glad to talk to you. If you want to spend time with Jesus, he'll be glad to talk to you. It's going to be a dimension you've never thought of. You know, right now, I'm going to give you a little bit of a headache. Just think about this. When did God start? I say, well, he never had a beginning. Think about that for a minute. Doesn't it hurt your brain to think about that? It hurts my brain. Because everything's got a beginning. You know, he has no beginning, and he has no end. And in the heavenly realm, you'll be the exact same way. You'll never be looking at the calendar and say, well, my goodness, we've been up here for 3,284 years now, and two more hours. It will be non-existent. You see, one of the things God created, well, actually two of the things he created time, and he created place. And if you can think of it, if you think of this little podium of being what God created, it's place and it's time. Time moves in a linear fashion, okay? Starts here and it ends here. And we gauge everything according to time. How old are you? Well, I was born on, you know, September 21st, 1921 or 1991 or whatever it may be. We gauge things by time. Well, that's a nice car. Oh, that thing is old. I've been having it for 10 years now. It's an 03 or an 02 or whatever it may be. So we think that way all the time, but you won't think that way anymore. So it's going to be completely different. So one of the nice things about heaven that you'll experience is a lot of new experiences that you never even thought about. Now, does that sound like fun? Sounds like a fun place to be to me. I mean, I like doing that. But I want to talk to you about something else. You can expect something that you've always experienced. Something that you always experienced. And let's look at the book of Acts chapter 18, verse 8. Crispus, I like that name, Crispus. Must have been in the Cracker Jack business or something, I don't know. Crispus, the synagogue ruler, and his entire household, and I bold and underline that for you, believed in the Lord. And many of the Corinthians who heard him believed, that was Paul he's talking about, believed and were baptized. heaven will be the fulfillment of every relationship you have ever had on earth. We'll be there. We'll see each other. We'll know each other. We'll be high-fiving for the first 500 years. You know? Well, it'll be so much fun. I mean, it'll be good to see everybody that you loved here who knew God in the heavenly realm. People you love will be waiting for you. I've told this story before, but it bears repeating. It's one of those little watershed things in my life. When I first, Pat and I first got in the kingdom, and we went to this little church, and they were singing songs I had never heard, and they were singing that old song, Precious Memories. And I went to see the pastor after services, and I said, why do y'all sing that song? I said, man, I don't have any precious memories. And in his wisdom, his pastor, as wise as we all are, said, one day you will. And you know what? He was right. Man, I got some precious memories. I'm looking forward to seeing some of my friends again. I mean, boy, what a day that's going to be. You know, what a day it'll be to see some of the ones who've gone on before us. I mean, that's going to be so great. I mean, we just recently lost Pat's brother. I'm looking forward to seeing Jimmy again. You know? I'm looking forward to seeing Sam again and Bobby again, you know, and Rosalie again, and, you know, just all those that have gone on before us. I'm looking forward to that. Can you imagine the moment when you get to the heavenly realm and your mother and dad run up to you, your brother, your sister, or your best friend runs up to you, somebody maybe you lost at an early age, and they grab you and said, it's so good to see you here. How happy you think you're going to be? It's going to be awesome. It'll be a fulfillment of something you lost here. One of the most horrible things that we go through as human beings is a time when somebody dies, because it rips the heart right out of us. Because there's nothing, you know, especially here in America, we like to fix everything, don't we? I mean, it's broke, we can fix it. Errol's pretty good about doing that. If it's something broke, Errol's got good hands, he can fix it. But we can't fix it when somebody dies. And all the nice things we say in the scriptures we read and the accolades that are given in a funeral service, but all those things, our heart is still ripped out of us because somebody we love is not here anymore. What a day it'll be when you get to see him again. I'm telling you, you think you've had a happy day? You haven't had a happy day until you see somebody that you lost and went to heaven, and you get to see him again. That's going to be a glorious, glorious, glorious day. Now I want to go out on a spiritual limb for just a few minutes. And I don't mind getting out on spiritual limbs. You know, I don't mind making God look good, even if it makes me look very tenuous. God loves you so very much. You know, we talk about God loves us. I'm going to tell you one of the ways that God loves you so very much. God loves you so much that he will search out and work in the life of all those that you love who don't know him as Savior to make sure that they come to heaven with you. Now, that's a bold statement. I'm saying that for some of you who've got kids who aren't serving the Lord, grandkids who aren't serving the Lord, children, parents, brothers, sisters, I'm saying God loves you so much that he knows that heaven would be lacking if they weren't there with you. And I believe God will move both heaven and earth to bring that person into the kingdom. Well, preacher, are you saying God's guaranteeing that my lost relatives are going to be there? I'm saying I believe the grace of God is so awesome and the love of God is so awesome that he'll do everything in the power of God to see that it happens. That's why I picked that passage of Scripture. Jim, can you flip back to that Scripture for me? It says, the ruler of the synagogue and his entire household believed. His entire household believed. His entire household believed. I know what a heartbreak it is for you, for some of you. You've come into the kingdom, and your kids give you no indication that they know God at all. Living like the world. And you've prayed for them. And you've interceded for them. And you've wept for them. And you see them saying things and doing things that break your heart. And you want them to turn around, and you've tried everything you know, and they won't turn around. I'm here to tell you that God loves you so much that I believe he'll bring them with you. You know, it's not impossible to do. You're telling me about Andy this morning, your son. How many times you prayed for Andy? Couldn't count the times, could you? You know, didn't look like there was a chance in the world Andy would ever come into the kingdom. This just didn't seem like it'd be possible. It seemed like one of those wishful prayers of a parent. How long has it been now? 6, 8 months now? Tommy came in one day and said, "Man, Andy got saved. Andy's going to church." I said that he sent his son a Bible, a nice leather-covered Bible. And he said, "Andy loved the smell of the leather. Man, if it takes the smell of the leather to get you in the Bible, God will do it. Make that thing smell good every day." And he's going to church and met a young gal, and they're planning on getting married, and he just quit smoking 7 days ago. I mean, there's just something happening. And I just told Tommy, I said, "Andy got the real thing. He didn't get religion. He didn't join the church. He found Jesus Christ." And I'm telling you, what God will do for Tommy and Andy, he'll do for your kids and my kids to make sure it wouldn't be heaven if my kids weren't there. And it wouldn't be heaven if my grandkids weren't there. It wouldn't be heaven if my brothers and sisters weren't there. And I believe God will do it. Say, "Well, boy, you're sure stretching the envelope." Well, I sure am stretching the envelope. But I don't mind stretching because I know the love of God. And I know what God's willing to do. God will do whatever it takes to make heaven that great place. Now, I've been told and I've said myself, "Well, you'll have no remembrance of them." That just doesn't make any sense to me. Doesn't make any sense to me. I can say that. I can say, "Well, your lost daughter, your lost son, you know, you just won't remember them." That doesn't make any sense to me. I don't believe God's going to obliterate our brains. I believe he makes our brains better, makes our memories better. Now, there's a scripture that I found. I was talking about angels earlier in Matthew 18:10. It says this: "See to it that you do not look down on these little ones, for I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven." I believe that there are angels that God assigns to every human being who ever lived. I believe you have, you know, some of you came from a mainline denomination. You might have heard the word guardian angel. You know, I used to blow that off, but you know, I don't blow that off anymore. And I believe they're on assignment. I believe they're working. Billy Graham wrote a great book about that, Angels on Assignment. I believe they're working right now. Why, we're in this building, in church, your sons and daughters and grandchildren's angels are working on them right now to try to get them in the kingdom. They're doing everything that God will give them power and strength and ability to do to try to bring them in the kingdom. And I believe if God makes up his mind to do something, I think he can get the job done. He got you, didn't he? He wasn't a good candidate for the kingdom, but he came and got you. Right, Tommy? Came and got you. Came and got me. I wasn't a candidate. I won't even talk about my testimony. I was the worst of the worst. I not only was sinning, but I became an evangelist against God. Against him. I preached against God. Man, what right did I have to get in the kingdom? And here I am. You know how I got here? Oh, great-grandmother. Grandma Peets. She was a weird little old lady. I mean, my memories of her was a little old lady. She always was in a rocking chair. And she had her hair always rolled up in a bun. She wasn't Pentecostal. She just had her hair up in a bun. And I remember every once in a while I'd see her having it down and be combing it. Man, that stuff must have went down to her ankles. I mean, she'd comb that hair and she'd roll up. She had a big old bobby pins, you know. Look like they came out of a hardware store, you know. She'd put them in there, hold her head. But you know what I always saw Grandma Pete's doing? I never saw my great-grandmother where she didn't have her Bible in her hand. I believe Grandma Pete's was praying for her grandkids. It's me and others. You get the picture I'm trying to tell you here this morning? That those prayers that you utter are heard in the kingdom of God, and God moves. I believe the love of God and the power of God is strong enough and mighty enough to accomplish what I'm telling you here this morning. Who's going to be there? Those who have gone on before you. Those precious memories. You'll get to see them again. Here's the thought I had. I love this thought. This is a good one. You're going to love this. It's great. I'm such a good preacher. I just amaze myself sometimes. I believe the folks who go to your funeral are going to be there. Isn't that cool? All the people up there whining and crying. Oh, he was such a good guy. Oh, what a preacher he was. The world won't be the same without old Brother Morris, you know. You'll still be here having to put up with this place. I'll be going to glory, and one day you'll show up. I think that's going to be cool, you know. So not only those who have gone on before you, but those who follow behind you. One day your kids come bunksing in. What a day that'll be, huh? Holy cow, I didn't believe you'd make it, but here you are. That's the love of God. That's the great. You know, we talk about the grace of God, but we've got God in such a little bitty grace bottle. I don't think you can put God in a grace bottle. How much does God love the unsaved that you love? He loved them enough to give his only begotten son that if they would just believe in him, they would not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus died on Calvary's tree for all of their sins and all their bad behavior, but he died for all their unbelief that they might come to know him. That's the story of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we might come to know him. And he'll move both heaven and earth to see that that takes place. Save you by the household. He did it for Cornelius. Remember Cornelius? I love Cornelius because he was the first Italian band leader in the Bible. Some of you will get that later. You got to read the King James to get it. Cornelius, the leader of the Italian band. His whole household got saved. Lydia, the seller of purple down by the river, she got saved. Her entire household got saved. The Philippian jailer, who was about to commit suicide when God caused an earthquake to come and knocked the chains off of Paul and Silas. All the prisoners got free. He's going to fall on his sword. Paul says, don't harm yourself. I'm here. That man took care of the wounds of Paul and Silas and the other prisoners, brought him to his house, and it says he and his entire household got saved that day. God saved him by the household. Christmas, we just read about. Stephanus, there are others. God saved by the household, by the household. I want to encourage you today, my friends, that you believe that God can save your family. It looks impossible to you, but remember, nothing's impossible with God. Don't give up on your friends. Don't give up on your family. Don't quit praying because you don't think it'll work. You say, Hess, I don't know how it could ever happen. Neither do I. But I've got a demented mind. God's mind is not demented. This, I believe, will be one of the greatest shining examples of the grace of God that you've ever experienced. That God's willing to move heaven and earth to make sure that those that you loved here will be with you in heaven. That's a great experience, don't you think? Amen. All right. The last thing I want to talk to you about, and this may be the best part of it. You can expect something that you've always wanted to experience. You know, Ro, I thought you were going to read my text. Let's look in the book of Revelation. chapter 1, verses 12 through 16. I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me, and when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet, and with a golden sash around his chest. The hair of his head was as white as wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze, glowing in a furnace. His voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand, he had seven stars, and coming out of his mouth was a sharp, double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all of his brilliance. Anybody got a wow? Anybody got a awe? I love that old song we sing, "What a day it'll be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon the face, the one who saved me by his grace. What a day. Oh, what a glorious day that'll be." You've always wanted to see him, and you will. And you'll see him in all of his glory. You know, those who got to see him here on planet Earth didn't get to see him in all of his glory. Even those who saw him in his resurrected body didn't get to see all of his glory. Those who saw him in the Mount of Transfiguration didn't get to see him in all of his glory. John got to see him in all of his glory and wrote about it for us. And you'll get to see it and understand it all on that glorious day. You know, we talk about the Trinity. The Holy Spirit was given unto us as an earnest, as a down payment, as just a touch of what's waiting for us in the heavenly realm. You know, we get the Holy Ghost goosebumps every once in a while, and we dance in the Holy Spirit, and we get slain in the Spirit, and we speak in other tongues, and we lay hands on the sick, and they recover, and we have all the glorious things that happen through the power of the Holy Spirit. Friend, you ain't seen nothing yet until the Holy Spirit reveals himself in all of his glory and all of his grandeur in the heavenly realm. You talk about Holy Ghost goosebumps, you better have a new body, or you'll be one big goosebump. Whoa, it's going to be a glorious moment when the Holy Spirit revealed himself and all of his power to you. And when you get to see the Father, he's indescribable. I like that thing we do occasionally that's my King. He's indescribable. You know, he's got all those accolades that he uses in that song, which I wouldn't even begin to go through. But when you see the Father in all of his glory, in all of his majesty, in all of his power, oh, what a moment in time that'll be. You'll need a Holy Ghost in the new resurrected body to stand through that. Think about that for a moment. The creator of the universe, and you'll be in his presence. Wow. Oh, what a day that'll be when we see Father. But you know what I believe he'll do? I'm a dad. Some of you parents here, don't you love your kids? Don't you love to show them off? I believe that's what's going to happen. I think when you see Father, say, I want you to meet Jesus. That's my boy. It's my son. It's my only begotten son. Behold, the Lamb of God. There he is. Wasn't for him, he wouldn't be here. Wasn't for his willingness to become a man and go to Calvary's tree, he wouldn't be here. It wasn't for the wounds that he took, he wouldn't be here. It wasn't for his willingness to bow himself, he wouldn't be here. If it wasn't for his servant attitude, he wouldn't be here. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he didn't, so you could be here. I want you to see my son. My only begotten of the Son. And we'll see Jesus in all of his glory. He won't be that suffering servant anymore. He won't be that little babe in the manger. He won't be the one that was spit upon and beaten and ridiculed and cursed and misunderstood and abused and was tired and sweaty and all the things that he went through and misunderstood and accused and foul names talked about him. Won't be that one. This will be that glorious King of glory that you'll get to see. Robed in shining, bright glory like the sun. You ever go outside and try to look at the sun? When you're a kid, you tried to do it. Adult, I hope you got better sense. You know, you try to look at it. Oh, man, you just can't see it. You see all kinds of stars. The closest thing to that is if you've ever been to the eye doctor, you know, and they dilate your pupils just to make it really painful for you. And then he says, open your eyes. And they got that light. And they go, bing. And you go, oh, you're trying to keep your eyes open and you can't because it's just so blinding. Well, just magnify that to the power of infinity. You'll get an idea of what Jesus might look like. Radiant as the sun. Isaiah said, I saw in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. He was high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And the angels cried, holy, holy is the Lord. Oh, man! To see Jesus dressed in his glory. What a picture that is, that his train filled the temple, dressed in a robe, reaching down to his feet with a golden sash upon him. You know, when he was here, he didn't look all that good. That's what the Bible said. It said, he wasn't very comely. He wasn't very good looking. It said David was a good looking guy. It didn't say Jesus was good looking at all. He said you wouldn't even recognize him. You wouldn't pick him out of a crowd. You only have to pick him out of a crowd because the crowd will be standing around him. And we'll all be going, wow. Friends, and I'm trying to paint a picture for you with words out of the scriptures, but it's just so difficult for us, isn't it? I mean, it's really hard to get a picture of it. But it is going to be a moment beyond moments on that day that you see him. It says that his hair was like wool and, you know, it was white as snow. It talks about his wisdom. You know, when somebody, the Bible talks about when you get white hair, you know, when you've earned it, you know, you've got wisdom. Al's been having wisdom a long time. He's not that old. You know? Some of us had to go a while to get it. But the little bit I got is trying to keep it gray. Some of you girls have been covering it up. That's all right. If the body needs paint, it's painted. You know, it's okay. Nothing wrong with that. But it talks about the wisdom. You ever been around wise people? I mean, not smart Alex. I'm talking about wise people. You ever been around people that you just, well, man, it's amazing, isn't it? You get around somebody who can think and work through problems and just got a lot of wisdom about them. And that's what you're going to see, the wisdom of the Ancient of Days. You know, it talks about Solomon, and he got all the wisdom, wisest man ever walk on the planet other than Jesus. And that's what you're going to see, the wisest man. You know what's going to be so cool? You're going to know, even if you were known, and you will understand. And all the questions you have now, why did this happen? Why does God let this happen? Why? There won't be any whys. You'll be saying, yes. Because you'll understand and see the wisdom of God. It says he has eyes of blazing fire, speaks that he sees the truth, and so will you. You know, we try to cover up stuff. It's been going on since Adam and Eve. They sinned. What the first thing they do? Try to cover themselves up. They didn't want the truth to be known. Those blazing eyes see the truth. And beloved, you're never going to do anything to make God love you anymore, and you're never going to do anything to make God love you any less, because those burning eyes see you just as you are. And in your condition, God still loves you. That's the picture that you're going to see there. Isn't it great to be loved? I mean, don't you love? I mean, isn't it great when somebody loves you? I mean, not just kind of, you know, I love you, man. But somebody who really loves you, will do anything for you. Isn't that great? I mean, to have those kind of, those relationships are kind of hard to find. You know, but Jesus will do anything for you. And I don't know how this is going to happen. This is my imagination. I think he's going to brush all your relatives and your friends and your loved ones and say, get out of the way, get out of the way, get, come here, Rob. I've just been waiting to hug you. And I believe that's exactly what Jesus is going to do. I think he's going to push everybody out the way so he can get to you. Let me hug you. Let me hug on your wife. I've been wanting to do this for so long. Jesus said this when he looked over Jerusalem. He said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Talk about the people, not the city. How often I would have gathered you under my wing as a mother hen gathers her chicks. Would you would not. In our case, it's because we could not. Because we're still in these bodies. But there, I believe you're going to get the hug of a lifetime. Of an eternity. When Jesus hugs you. Boy, it's going to be, what a moment. Oh, man, that's going to be so good. Oh, man, I'm telling you. Marion, that's going to be a great day, buddy. When Jesus gives you a big old hug. You know, the guy that led me to the Lord, James Walter Hickman, big old, heavy, big old boy, weighed 400 pounds, more than killed him, the weight killed him. He was so blooming fat, but he was the best hugger on the planet. He used to love to hug you. He'd get little kids and he'd say, come over here and give Brother Hickman a hug. And he'd say, you know why I'm so fat? And they said, no, Peter, why? He said, because I hug little kids and they all make me fat. He said, I love to hug on kids. He'd tell those kids that all the time. He was a great hugger. And one day you're going to get a real hug that you've never experienced before from this one who loves you so much. Talks about his feet like bronze glowing in a furnace. Talks about his stability, never moved. In the book of Hebrews, it talks about we serve a kingdom that cannot be shaken, cannot be moved. You know, here we feel so tenuous so often in life. We never know what's going to happen next. I mean, Al, I mean, who expected you to get the diagnosis you got, you know? You got a trail ahead of you, buddy, you know, you and your wife. I mean, all of us together. You didn't expect that. I mean, it just came out of nowhere. It's a tenuous place. But there won't be that way. But I want you to know right now, God is standing strong. He's not moved. And he wasn't surprised when the doctor gave you his diagnosis. He wasn't surprised at all. And he's right there with you. He'll never leave you. Never forsake you. Take you through this. He walks through the fire. Remember the Hebrew children? They went through the fire. And when they looked in there, they said, I see a fourth man in the king in there. One that looks like the Son of God. I'm telling you, God's with you through this thing. Take you through it. Amen? This is the part I like. It said his voice was like the sound of rushing waters and coming out of his mouth with a sharp, double-edged sword. He's going to explain everything to you. A rushing water of truth will just be poured out to you. That's when you're going to know, even as you know. You'll know it all. You'll finally be what you always thought you were. I know it all. I wasn't talking about you, Priscilla. You'll know it all. You'll understand it all. And he'll be giving you information, just flooding you with that information, that you'll know it. He does it now to a certain extent, but there in the heavenly realm, it's going to be awesome. In beauty like you've never seen. You know, one of the things I think that God did this on purpose, you know, how many of you like to have a gold brick right now? Gold brick weighs, what, a couple of pounds at the price of gold? You'd be in pretty good shape if you had a couple of bricks. So he said, gold is nothing. We got the streets paved with these babies. You want diamonds? I got gates made out of diamonds. You want some pearls? I got pearls so big, we made the gates of heaven out of them. You know, all the things that we consider valuable will be nothing compared to the beauty of Christ the Lord when you see him in all of his grandeur. You know how your breath's been taken away when you've seen a bride walk down the aisle? You know how you've walked, maybe you've been to the Grand Canyon or stood on a mountaintop or seen a newborn babe and your breath has been taken away at the beauty of the moment? You need to have a resurrected body. And you need the breath of God keeping that body going, because when you see him in all of his beauty, I can only imagine. Will I dance before you, Jesus? Will I be still? Will I fall on my face? What'll I do? You might say, oh man, that's a lot of pie in the sky religion you're talking about. Oh yeah. Oh, yeah. It's the biggest, best pie you ever had. And you know who it's available to? Those who believe. Amen. Do you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you? Did you just join a church? Do you believe? Do you have what Andy's got? I like those testimonies. That's real stuff. You know? You got the real thing? Like Paul and John and Crispus. In his household, you got the real thing. If you got the real thing, I guarantee that what I've said in a greater measure than I could ever say it will be the reality that you'll see when you go to heaven one day. That's the plan. Mm-hmm. Father, we thank you for the precious promises that are ours in Christ Jesus. Lord, thank you for, by your Holy Spirit, giving us a glimpse, a taste of things to come. And Lord, let us live as your servant Paul lived, who said, to live is Christ, to die is gain. So as we live, Lord, on this earth, as long as you give us life and breath to do so, let us live for you. Let us be about your business. Let us be, as Gary said earlier, Lord, let us be waiters and servants of yours, bringing the good news about what Jesus has done to the entire world, so that maybe somebody's son or daughter or grandson or granddaughter or mother or dad or brother or sister who's been praying for them, maybe we could meet them and tell them about you. Father, I know there's so many things that we do in the kingdom, but I don't believe there's a thing that we can do that's more important than tell someone about you and your son and your message of salvation. As we leave this building today, as turn off our television sets, our TVs, and our internet connections, let us be mindful of heaven, and let us be mindful of the work that's still left to be done. We thank you, Father, and we pray together in the wonderful name of Jesus. And everybody said, Amen. Amen. Mm. Mm. Hallelujah. Before you go, let me remind you, but let me tell you that next week I hope to be starting a new series called The Amazing Grace Race. Some of you like The Amazing Race. Well, we're going to race. I thought it appropriate now that we've been through the understanding about salvation, what it really is, in great depth, that we go through the book of Acts and see what we're supposed to be doing, what they did, and what we're supposed to be doing, okay? So I'm going to start that next week, The Amazing Grace Race. Thank you for being here. God bless you. Watch over you.